Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
If you were to ask people whom they thought were the most powerful people on earth, they would give you a long list. That list would include people who had their hand on the nuclear button for war. That would include the men and women who lead their countries, the ones in authority who could affect your lives for good or evil. A list might contain opinion makers, lawmakers, people who could control your life by creating norms of good and evil. The rich, the strong, the popular, those who have authority to make others rich or poor, make others strong or weak, make others popular or unpopular. All these reflect the world's view of greatness. Because in the world's view of greatness, every power needs to be exercised. And the people who exercise the most power are the greatest among us. That's the world's view. God's view is that service is greatness. Let he who would be greatest among you be servant to all. That is God's view. There's kind of a disconnect between those who believe in the world's view and those who believe in God's view. There's a disconnect between those who seek power so that they can exercise it over us, and those who seek God's purpose for our lives, which is to serve Him and serve others. Sometimes it takes a long time to conform to the thoughts and actions of God. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and it takes us a while to kind of catch up. I was telling people that I confessed that I am too often not in step with God. Quite often, my wife tells me I'm ahead of God. And so I dream dreams. And sometimes they have fruition. Sometimes it's just not God's time. It's not that the dream is bad, it's that it was not in God's perfect time. And sometimes it takes us a long time to understand the timing of God. But you know, there are many people like that whose accomplishments have been in the latter part of their life. Verdi wrote Ave Maria, the great song sung in so many churches over Christmas time. And he wrote that when he was 84 years old. Michelangelo was 87 years old when he created his greatest masterpiece. Moses was 80 when God called him to serve himself and others. It's never too late to turn from the notion that power is to be sought and exercised, to turn to God's way of service to Him and to others. Let us go before Him in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank You and praise You that You have come to us this morning, that You are here. You have said to us that where two or three of us are gathered together in your name, there you are in the very midst of us. You're tangible. You can be touched and felt. With every breath we take, we breathe in and out. With every piece of food we partake of, or every drink of water that we have, all those things that are life-giving come from you. We thank you and praise you. And we ask this of you. You have told us in your word that we have not, for we ask not, or we ask incorrectly. Father, may we be in step with you today. May we ask you to reveal to us what is in your word. Father, cast all my words out. They're the words of a silly man. They're the words of a person who has looked at the world and thought for a moment that the world was in reach, and knowing forever and ever and ever only you were in reach. Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to forgive all of those who are here of their sins. May we come to you freshly washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we seem to be a sweet smelling offering given up to you. May we give ourselves to you this day, and may you give us your word. May you enliven it. May you set your place in our lives, no matter what language we speak, no matter what color of skin we have or any other notion, no matter whether we're dressed to the nines or we don't have nines to dress in. Father, we have come to you as your people, and we ask you to give us those things which only you can give. Give us revelation today, Father, for we ask it in your precious name. Amen. I'm going to be reading from Mark, and I'm going to start with verse 35, and I'm going to read through 45. I'm reading out of the New King James, so whatever translation you have, you read from, because this is the Word of God. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. It is for those for whom it is prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whatever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The disciples, like all of us, want greater authority. We're offended by anything that takes away the method of our achieving our goal of authority. We want to be the first in the class. We want to be the first in the race. We want to be number one. All of us, individually, desire that. The disciples, just like us, needed the renewing of their minds. Jesus understood life differently. He understood differently than all of us. His thoughts were not our thoughts. His ways were not our ways. He came into a world and taught those that we had rejected. He loved them. On three occasions, two previous and on this one, Jesus had told his disciples that he would go to Jerusalem and die and raise again on the third day. The disciples did not understand. In fact, they argued among themselves who would be greatest in his kingdom. And so when Jesus said he was going to Jerusalem, James and John, just like us, ran to him and put in their word first. They asked for the two best jobs. They wanted the two best. And Jesus said to them, there is a cost to what you are asking. Are you willing to pay it? And they said, we are. Too often, that's us. We say, oh, I'm ready. We're not ready. God knows. They're still of the mindset that the greatest is measured by the same measurement that we use for the world. That the two best jobs meant that they would be rulers over his kingdom. That he was going to Jerusalem, they believed that, but that he was going to win over Rome when they went to Jerusalem. They wanted to be the two men who stood in authority over everybody else except Jesus. We don't want to hear what we don't want to hear. We're just like that. We like to disregard everything that we hear that's not in line with what we're thinking, but we've decided already. If we've decided already that God is this way, then he turns up to be different than we thought, we say, oh no, I'm not receiving that. I don't want a new thing. I want what I want. We don't want to hear the commands of God to humble ourselves and serve others. But that's what he's telling the disciples, that he who would be greatest among them would be servant to them all. We don't want to do that. We simply are offended by those words. We want to have the very best position. We want to be in the top rank of everybody. We want everybody to look to us. We want to be the answer man. We want to be able to do things that others can't do. We don't want to hear the commands of God. James and John wanted what the world told them was greatness. Jesus tells them that it comes at a cost. They say, oh, all right, we're willing to pay. You see, their flesh won the day over their spirit. The Spirit of God, which was on each one of them, lost to the spirit of the flesh. These are the same men who ran from the cross. Oh, they were supposed to carry a cross, but they ran from the cross when they saw the reality of Jesus hanging from it. They ran. They fled. They didn't want that. They wanted only the pleasure of being seated on a throne on the right hand or left hand of God. When they faced the truth, they fled. But their ambition was shared by the other disciples, who were very angry when they learned that they had put in for the best jobs first, because they wanted those same positions. You know, I mean, that's the problem that we all face. We all think that if we volunteer first, that we're going to get the very best place. That's just not true, is it? That's not God's way. Others wanted those positions that James and John had asked for, and that means that those positions, that form of greatness always results in hurt and loss because there's someone faster than you or better than you or smarter than you. It was an old thing in the Westerns, and I used to watch the Westerns, I confess, all the time. Didn't watch as many as Sandra, but I watched Westerns. And the gunfighters, boy, I'm fast with that gun. But the gunfighters were always told by some character in the film that there was always someone faster. There was always someone better. We don't like to hear that. We like to stay in the echo chamber that tells us only what we want it to tell us. We don't want to hear what God has to say. The standard of this world is good for tyrants. It's good for people who exercise power. It's good for them. The world's view that greatness is exercising power is wonderful for tyrants. But you are not tyrants. You are the children of God. And God does not want you to be tyrants. He wants you to be servants, slaves to all. Jesus wants us all to know that we are to submit to others. Oh gosh. I hate to do that. You mean I've got to submit to that person or this person? Why do you think Jesus taught us to turn the other cheek, to give good to those who spitefully used us? Who are we? We are only what He says we are. And He says that we are co-inheritors with Christ. That we're above the angels. That God loves us with a love that is unconquerable. If these, James and John, couldn't turn the other cheek, couldn't forgive, couldn't serve one another in a small group of 12 men, what were they going to do when they reached out to the whole world? What are we going to do if we cannot serve one another? If we can't do that, then we don't have any business trying to show the world how it's done, because we have disqualified ourselves. They had trouble doing it. They didn't know how to react. Jesus did not promise us that it was going to be easy. Elton likes to say that he knew this job was hard when he took it. I want all of us to realize that Jesus never promised you a rose garden. He promised you a crown of thorns. He said, "What people have done to me, they will do to you as well." That's Jesus being truthful to us. But He insisted that it was God's way only that we had to follow. Only God's way. Not the world's way. But God's way. He gave himself as an illustration to what he said. He did not come, it says in the scripture, to be served. But he came to serve others. He wanted to meet the needs of everybody he encountered. He wanted to heal the sick, to cast out the demons, to raise the dead to life again. A new life in Jesus Christ and in God himself. He wanted all of us to know that we, each of us, need the grace of God, because none of us are deserving. The only thing we're deserving of is punishment. But God's grace is sufficient for all of us. Jesus welcomed the outcast. Can you imagine coming into a world and welcoming the outcast? The saying to yourself, oh, well, I'm going to reach over and touch someone, is different than what Jesus did. Jesus identified with those people. He was simpatico. That is a word that comes out of Portuguese, which means that you're very sympathetic. You're more than sympathetic with people. You're simpatico, means that they are your brother, they are your sister. You understand their needs, their wants, their hurts. You react that way. That's the way Jesus was. That's the way he is. Jesus showed love to the world's throwaway people. The world doesn't regard anyone who doesn't have power as worth it to sacrifice for. But Jesus sacrificed for everybody. Jesus used his own life. He was refusing to condemn us. That's the reason he had the authority to say to us, judge not, lest ye be judged. Because he didn't judge. He didn't come here for that purpose. He came to save us, to lay down his life for those of us who are yet his enemies. He, being God's own Son, humbled himself and gave his life on the cross for the payment of our sins. He rose again to give us eternal life with Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven above. He said, if I go to prepare, I will prepare a place for you, that where I go, you may be also. Those are not just nice words that comfort people. Those are actual, actual words. It's his promise. Jesus lived his word. Holy God, think about this. Holy God in Jesus Christ got down on his knees and washed the feet of his unbelieving disciples. He got on his knees. That was a position that was saved for the lowliest servant in the house to be the foot washer. But Jesus got on his knees to wash our feet. That's how much he loved him. He performed the most humiliating service for us. It was a service that the disciples couldn't do or wouldn't do for themselves. Yet, Jesus instructed them to serve in the same way they had seen him serve. That was God's way. Standard of greatness that can only be achieved by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Albert Schweitzer, perhaps you've heard of him. He was a skilled and talented musician. He could have pursued that as his calling. He could have had praise and fame and honor and glory and had other people serving him. He could have done anything Albert Schweitzer could have done. He could have been the celebrity of his time. He was that talented. And yet he gave that up to go to Africa in order that he might serve Christ Jesus. He gave up a throne for a wash basin so that he could serve those who the world disregarded, who the world thought were nobodies. They were less than the animals. They were nobodies. They were in darkest Africa, as though the darkness has not invaded our hearts as well. Albert Schweitzer went to serve Christ. And he went there to serve the throwaway people, the people that didn't count from the world's point of view, the people that would never, ever be great in the world's sight. He went to them, the least of these, my brethren. He went to them because their skin color was a stumbling block to people that were in his world. It was a stumbling block that they rationalized with all kinds of reasoning. But it was wrong, and Albert Schweitzer knew it was wrong. He did this because he loved the world as Christ loved the world. That sacred love that gave itself for the whole world, not just for him. You might ask yourself, why? There's a tale told by another person who served God, Mother Teresa. A worker who was there part-time, only for a short time, saw that her tiny little feet were deformed. They were deformed feet. But she did not ask the question of how that deformity came to be. She didn't want to know. She didn't want to ask. She didn't want to say anything at all about it. Because Mother Teresa kept on with her work, even though she had deformed tiny little feet. One day, someone who was with Mother Teresa for a longer period of time asked her if she noticed that Mother Teresa's feet were deformed. And she said, yes. She said, did you ever wonder why they were deformed? And she said, yes, but I was afraid to ask. She said, well, you see, people send shoes to our ministry. They send great boxes of shoes, great bags of shoes. They're usually worn-out shoes that people no longer wear, but she'll go through looking for the worst pair of shoes there. That's what she takes, because she wants the better shoes to be used for the people who come within her ministry. She wants the best of what we have for them. You want the best for what others have? You want them to have the very best of you? Do you want them to have a better life than yours? Do you want to look at them as someone who is lower than you or greater than you? That is the way of God, to look at everyone as though they were someone God personally created to be the way they are. To see not what the world sees, but to see the wonders that God has done. The Scripture says, whoever desires to be first shall be slave of all. The book is closed, but the word of revelation goes on. Perhaps you know someone in your own life who has given themselves for you, who would give up their very life for you. I heard someone in my life who would do that. His name is Jesus Christ. He paid every debt. He looked at every dark corner of my life. And he loved me anyway. He looks at you the same way. He wants each and every one of you to be his child. He wants you to be adopted. In the Greek world, Roman world, to be adopted was greater than being born naturally. Because a natural child you could kill. You could disinherit. But an adopted child, you were not allowed to touch a hair on their head. They would never be disinherited. Once you have come to Christ, you are His. He will never turn His back on you. Ever. He loves you as you are. Now we have a time to give back to God what God has given to us. He wants us. He wants you and me to be like Jesus. To turn away from the gifts that we've been given on this earth for the gifts that God alone gives. To abandon our place in this world to be in His world, in His kingdom. And for some reason, He has said that you should walk an aisle. Whoever you proclaim, whoever of you proclaim Him, Jesus Christ, publicly, He will proclaim to the Father. Whoever denies Him, He'll deny. This is an opportunity for you to respond to Jesus, to come to Him, to say in your heart, I love Him. I need to tell everybody else, I love Him. I am thankful for everything He has done. I want only what He can give. It's an opportunity for those of you who have never known Jesus as your personal Savior, those of you who have wandered away, done your own thing like James and John, wanted only the best positions, but then fled when you were confronted with the truth that it was a rocky and hard and narrow road that you had to follow. He wants you back. Like the prodigal, He wants you back. He wants you to join His fellowship. He wants you to love Him as He loved you and gave Himself for you. Will you give yourself to Him today? Will you ask Him to come into your life today?
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the Internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.